I'm Malcolm King, Chairman of the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Project.
The reason we've invited you into the Lion's Den today is that the building contains a lot of the history of the club.
From my point of view, there was a bit before me, because that was the pulling down of the old stand here at King's Home, the wooden grandstand in 2007. And in the bowels of that stand were found to be a whole lot of documents and photographs relating to the history of the club. Fortunately, Gary Little here at the club went and spoke to the Gloucestershire Archives about it, and a rescue was done, which resulted in material going to the archives. Because there was so much material, the county archivist, Heather Forbes, thought that that might form the basis for a special archive on Gloucester Rugby. And because I was already involved with the Friends of the Gloucestershire Archives, Heather knew me and knew I was a season ticket holder at King's Home, so asked me if I'd be willing to head a project on that, at least initially to do a review of that material and see what there was.
And as things have developed, you've done interviews with former players, you've obviously been asking for memorabilia, there's just been so many different facets to this project.
That's right, we've done about 30 interviews now, nearly all of former players, but we have done, you know, a former groundsman and so on as well. Those are continuing, and there are lots more people that we want to interview. And the former players have also been very generous in coming up with their memorabilia from the club. So we've actually had more than 60 donations of material now from people into the archive. So the archive is growing at the time as well.
John, let me just bring you in at this point. So how did you become involved with the project?
I was asked to join the project by Malcolm, with whom I worked for many years. I've been a fan of Gloucester for over 50 years. I've been coming to King's Home. I also have a history of family history, if you like. So I've been visiting the archives for over 25 years and researching my own and other people's family history.
We're here today because there's a book launch. So 3 years into the project, this is a great outcome for you.
Yes, in fact, there have been two events this week. Yesterday, we had a launch of the educational resources that we've developed, which actually at least half of our funding has gone on. And today, as you say, we've been launching the book, which was written by John and I. We've been working on it for about a year. Originally, we were planning a booklet as part of the educational package, but we decided, even when we switched to soft copy for that, that actually we were coming across so much material of interest that we thought there was a good basis for producing this book that we've launched today.
You may be surprised to learn that the club has not always played in cherry and white. The club colours in the first season were black and blue.
I'm just opening the book up now. If I just actually describe the front cover, it's got Gloucester Rugby Heritage in a big red square in the centre of the front cover, and then all around it there are small squares with a mixture of pictures. So we've got photographs there of obviously previous teams and previous players, but also small excerpts from matches and programmes. So you've got a variety of things here. This is on the first page, what's in a name. So this is to do with the name of Gloucester Rugby.
You know, there have been different, slightly different incarnations of the formal name of the club, because it started off as the Gloucester Football Club. But also over the years, there have been various other names. I mean, for a long time, it was referred to just as the City Club, mm-hmm. to differentiate it from all the junior clubs in the city. And the Blues, because early in their career, they actually played in blue jerseys with the city arms emblazoned on the chest.
Well, you mentioned that at the beginning of your speech, and just on the next page of the book it says club strip lay bare. They didn't always play in cherry and whites then?
No, they didn't indeed. In the first season we know they played in black and blue. We understand that was because they were the only colours available. They fairly quickly went on to purple and black. Then for a while they played in quite exotic red, yellow and black jerseys and stockings and dark blue knickerbockers, as it was described. That's around 1890, just before they started playing at King's Home. We don't actually have any firm evidence as to when they started playing in cherry and white, but it appears to be about the same time as they started playing at King's Home in 1891.
So how is the book made up then? Is it sort of some of the anecdotes that you've been collecting over the time?
Yes, it's anecdotes. It celebrates the great players who played for the club. So we pull out great players from every era in the club.
And what's it been like from your point of view, John, working on the project but also producing a book?
It's been a great pleasure. It's something I've thoroughly enjoyed. It's something I never expected to do. I've learnt even more about the club, I think, while doing it, a lot more about the club and the players while doing it, that I wouldn't have learnt just through taking part in the project.
And you said just now that the project is continuing, so how will that happen?
A large factor in that, of course, is that Ecclesiastical Insurance have now come on board as a new sponsor for the project and have injected £15,000, and that is going to make a big difference for us. Well, it already is. I'm hoping that support will continue in years to come. Essential as well is actually the support of the partners in the project, Gloucester Rugby, the Archives and the Friends of the Archives. They're all very enthusiastic about the project. I mean, there's no way this is coming to an end. There's a lot more history to find out as well.